නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස As you all know, we started last week a new sutta, which is the Bahu Dhatuka Sutta, available in Majjhima Nikaya. So it is talking about many different kinds of elements, not only elements, then it will introduce different sense bases, and then about the Patisamuppada, and like some interesting, say, Dhamma directly related to our practice are included here. So let us, so we started that talking about the interesting story where Buddha particularly mentioned yani khani ci bhikkhave bhayani uppajjanti sabbani thani balato uppajjanti no panditato. So basically he mentioned that if any kind of fear happens, and it can happen only because of a fool, but not because of a pandit, a kind of a wise person. Similarly, Buddha mentioned if there is any kind of a trouble, it may arise because of a fool, not because of a wise person. Similarly, if there is any kind of a calamity which is arising because of the man's interruption, that is because of a fool, not because of a wise person. So similarly, so he keeps on emphasizing the importance of knowing things, having wisdom, and that's how this, what we call this sutta evolves. And then Venerable Ananda, and ultimately he emphasized that Pandita Bhavissama Vimansakati. So evang hivo bhikkhave sikkhitabbanti. So he invites all the monks, so you should be wise and you should be inquirers. So without inquiring, without being wise, don't spend your time. Just try to be wise, try to be an inquirer. So basically this is the kind of an advice that he gives here. And then Venerable Ananda asked the interesting question, Kittavatanuko bhante pandito bhikkhu vimansakoti alang vachanayati. So how a particular person, a monk, could be said a wise man, an inquirer. So as a result of that question, now Buddha elaborates the requirements. So there he give a kind of a four categories or four requirements. Dhatu kusalo chahoti, ayatana kusalo chahoti, patisamuppada kusalo chahoti, thana thana kusalo chahoti. So basically the monk has to be skilled in elements, and whoever this practitioner has to be skilled in basis, and skilled in dependent origination, and is skilled in what is possible and what is impossible. So now we are going through one by one about this teaching. So we started with the elements, and Venerable Ananda, after heard that answer from Buddha, now he wants elaboration. So he is asking, Dhatu kusalo bhikkhuti alang vachanayati, kittavata panabhante, dhatu kusalo bhikkhuti alang vachanayati. So to whom that we can say, who is skilled in the elements. Now Buddha keeps on explaining different types of elements and how one has to have gained some capacity about those elements. Now first one is about the 18 elements. Chakku dhatu, rupa dhatu, chakku vinyana dhatu, sota dhatu, sadda dhatu, sota vinyana dhatu, ghana dhatu, ganda dhatu, ghana vinyana dhatu, jivha dhatu, rasa dhatu, jivha vinyana dhatu, kaya dhatu, pottabba dhatu, kaya vinyana dhatu, mano dhatu, dhamma dhatu, mano vinyana dhatu. So per each sense base, there are three elements. The internal sense base also considered as an element, external sense base considered as an element, and combining of that, there is a possibility to arise the corresponding consciousness that is also considered as an element. So altogether there are 18 elements. So as we discussed last time, so knowing in terms of some theory, some facts is not the important thing, but we need to understand certain other aspects, some practical aspects about these elements. Actually, if one is practicing Ayatana Bhavana, where one's keeping one's attention, some careful attention to sense bases, so there he may be able to understand at a given moment how a particular sense base arises when that corresponding outside sense object impinges with that sense organ. Say for example, when you are hearing a sound, there is a corresponding sound, it hits the eardrum, so then the hearing happens. So that hearing is the product, hearing is a result of these two factors. So hearing totally dependent on ear and the sound. Ear and sound are essential for hearing to happen. So that is, the ear consciousness is totally dependent on those two factors. There may be other factors as well, supporting factors, but these two are extremely important. So similarly, all the other consciousness, maybe eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness and mind consciousness, all that actually dependent on their corresponding internal and external sense bases. And on the other hand, if we want to practice based on this scenario, we need very precise mindfulness and focused attention, because we need to keep on guarding the senses. Then only we are able to recognize how they are arising and passing away whenever certain outside sense object impinges. So at that moment we have to be vigilant, we have to be alert, and then we can recognize how this certain sense base arises, it starts its function, and then we can recognize the object depending on that situation when a particular certain consciousness arises. So all that happens, and we need to recognize through the very sharp mindfulness. We need to be attentive, we need to be diligent, we have to maintain our attention to each sense base, and then actually we may be able to recognize how this sense base arises and pass away, that particular corresponding sense object arises and pass away, and that corresponding consciousness also arises and pass away. So this is one skill that Buddha mentioned about the 18 elements. So basically the idea is emphasized as a kind of an elements. The term element, particularly the term dhatu in Pali, emphasized the non-personal, non-self attribute. That you know that typically we have the notion that we are an individual, we are a person, I am here, I am talking, I am listening, I am working. So we have the sense of I. Whenever we go through certain experience, so we are experiencing as a person. There is an experiencer. But here, when this all the physical and mental experience is elaborated, Buddha simplified the whole thing into 18 elements. Actually, for us, it appears like kind of a simplicity, because we are going through a very sophisticated, very complex kind of a scenario, complex kind of an experience. But Buddha drills down everything to 18 elements, either physical, either mental. So basically all that experience Buddha categorized into 18 elements. He can explain the whole experience through 18 elements. So that's a beautiful thing. And then actually we can, Venerable Ananda gives another addition here. So he is asking, is it the only one, that the only possibility is available for having skill in the elements? Is there any other way? Is there any another way that someone can be having this skill in the elements? And then Buddha keep on explaining as another way. So Siya Ananda, Chaima Ananda Dhatuyo. Now he is telling there are six Dhatu, six kinds of elements are there. So this is quite familiar to us. Patavi dhatu, apo dhatu, tejo dhatu, vayo dhatu, akasa dhatu, vinyana dhatu. Patavi dhatu, the earth element, water element, fire element, air element, space element, and the consciousness element. Other than the consciousness element, all other five are physical. So those belong to the physical realm. But the consciousness element here encompasses every mental activity. All the mental side, immaterial side is represented in this consciousness element. And let me give some information about these six elements, because we are mostly working on this, and practically we are trying to understand or analyze all these six elements time to time, particularly in the Dhatu Manasikara meditation, elements meditation. Now quite a lot of information is available at various suttas. I am taking an example sutta called Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, which is also from Majjhima Nikaya, where Buddha gives an explanation about each and every element. So what is the earth element? The earth element may be either internal or external. Now he first divided to internal or external for our easy understanding, and is giving some guidance to the practice. Actually, during the practice, we are starting with internal earth element, for example. So rather than trying to practice with the external earth element, it may be convenient for us to practice from the internal earth element. Here also we need mindfulness, here also we need kind of a concentration, then only we can understand the manifestation of each element. Otherwise it become a mere list, it become a mere facts without some practical touch. So therefore mindfulness and clear comprehension, maybe certain amount of focused attention, are very much like prerequisites for this whole process. Now in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta and certain other Rahulovada Sutta, so Buddha give a kind of a easy to understand list for earth element. So those are actually the examples. So whatever internally belonging to oneself is solid, solidified and clung to. So solid and solidified. So this is the kind of a taste, or this is the kind of a quality which is emphasized in the earth element. It has this kakkalatta lakkhana. So yeah, it is somewhat gross, somewhat solid, and once you touch you can recognize its gross, rough nature. And therefore typically there are six qualities attributed to earth element: hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness and lightness. Now these are the characteristics attributed to the earth element, and there are certain body parts showing those characteristics. So a list is given here: head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs, intestines, mesentery. So all these different around 20 items were listed here. Those all represent examples for the earth element. There are many earth elements available, examples available, but here kind of an easy list common to us are available. And it doesn't mean these elements or these parts only have earth element, but they basically have all the five elements, including the space element. But majority is the earth element. That's the important thing. So it is not a particular object, so-called object, has only earth element. Rather, it has all the five elements. But majority in this list basically have the earth element. Now, if one is trying to practice elements meditation, as you know, we need certain amount of mindfulness and clear comprehension. You are keeping your attention to each of these parts, body parts. Probably you may be able to recognize their hardness, their softness, their roughness, their smoothness, lightness, or heaviness. So we need to recognize them. So one has to know that language. So I can remember Venerable Jnanarama Thero emphasized that the yogi should know the language of the elements. So they are talking through the characteristics, element characteristics. As I explained, the earth element has six characteristics. So using those characteristics, the earth element is able to recognize. Its presence can be recognized through those characteristics. Now, as one is practicing more and more, so these characteristics become evident to one, and again those starts changing, and those are not kind of fixed characteristics, those are kind of evolving characteristics, those are changing characteristics. Hardness is not a fixed type of quality, it evolves, it starts, it changes, and ultimately it may disappear. So likewise, hardness is a kind of an action, a kind of an activity. Similarly, the softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness, all are activities we are talking. Those are not particles as such, but they are in constant change, completely dynamic. They are type of processes. Now, when one has mindfulness and clear comprehension, including the proper balance, focused attention, one would be able to recognize all these characteristics. Now, as one practices using one's own body, recognizing different characteristics, element characteristics, so basically one's understanding is not limited to the internal body parts, but one may inferentially apply it to outside as well. So there may be a table, there may be a chair, maybe a toothbrush, maybe a cup, maybe a watch. So different names we have attributed, we have given different names, labels, but intrinsically what is available are only these five elements. To all this physical realm, we can say only five elements are there: earth element, water element, fire element, air element, and space element. So then internal and external become very much like invalid, because that is a kind of a division that we have prepared for our easy understanding, for easy communication. But elements doesn't know whether it is in internal or external, whether it's in a male body or female body, in a living body or non-living body. So that is, doesn't matter for the element. Element doesn't have such kind of information. So those are actually we imposed upon it. But elements are merely elements. So Buddha makes the very interesting statement here. Both the internal earth element and the external earth element are simply earth element, are merely earth element. So when one practices as such, so one's understanding grows not to a kind of a very comprehensive information as such about the earth element. Rather, one becomes dispassionate about the earth element. So that's a key thing. Sometimes there are certain practices which are emphasizing more and more detail, very subtle detail, a quite descriptive list of information. But anyway, the emphasis is for the dispassion. So as you practice elements meditation, so you are grasping, you are holding, your attachment to the physical realm has to be reduced. So that's the key thing. It is not that we are trying to go through a very sophisticated physical experiment like the biologist or physicians, where they want to recognize certain parts, certain particles, maybe atomic particles, nuclear information, molecular information. So that is not the approach of a yogi. That may be the scientific approach. From the scientific point of view, that the scientists are looking for, but the yogis are from a different mentality. They too do a very scientific experiment, but the result is the dispassion, result is disenchantment. They understand their vulnerability, their weak, transient nature. So ultimately, they become dispassionate about this physical realm. That's the important thing. So therefore, to what extent that you need information about these elements, so it depends. So it is necessary to look at them properly through mindfulness and clear comprehension. More you understand, more should be the dispassion. More you understand, more should be the disenchantment. So that's the important thing. So that is also highlighted here in the Dhatuvibhanga Sutta. So basically, and that should be seen as it actually is with proper wisdom. This is not mine, this is I am not, this is not myself. One further understand as one is again and again observing their manifestation, one would understand, so these are not belongs to me, they don't operate according to my wishes. They don't behave as I want. So likewise, so the understanding, the elements meditation provides that understanding regarding the non-self. Ultimately, one becomes dispassionate. When one sees it thus as it actually is with proper wisdom, one becomes disenchanted with the earth element and makes the mind dispassionate towards the earth element. So this is the outcome. So you can see the approach is quite different from a scientist, from today modern scientist to the practitioner. Both are doing type of an experiment. Scientists may be doing with some sophisticated tools, some physical man-made tools. But the yogi is doing with mindfulness, clear comprehension, proper kind of balanced effort and the focused attention. And those are his tools. And the outcomes are quite different. Scientists may be very much interested finding his own findings and publishing a research paper, earning some money and adding his name and being popular and mastering certain subject and maybe earning more and more reputation. So that may be the attitude, or that may be the wish, ambition of a certain scientist. But the proper attitude of a yogi has to be quite different. Why he is doing this experiment is not for any reputation or any kind of very comprehensive analysis of this very subtle phenomena. Rather, his analysis, his investigation ultimately has to lead towards a dispassion, disenchantment. So that's very clearly emphasized in this Dhatuvibhanga Sutta when Buddha is explaining about these elements. So more one understand the earth element, he becomes dispassionate about the earth element, disenchanted about the earth element. So similar explanation given related to the other elements. So water element, for example, the water element may be either internal or external. What is internal earth element? Whatever internally belong into oneself, water, watery and clung to. Now, Buddha also starts with some mundane words which are easy to understand, and he's saying, okay, this belongs to you. So you as an individual, you may start the practice. So you feel that these parts belong to you. These are inside my body. So the mine. So this is my objects. So such kind of an attitude is there. But the interesting thing is, so that attitude will be ultimately disproved. So you may start telling, okay, this is my body. This body has, say for example, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, bile, tears, grease, spittle. So all that watery parts are there. You presume they are belong to you. But ultimately, more you understand them, more you observe them, more you observe their behavior, slowly, slowly you will understand they don't belong to you. They are vulnerable, they are changing, they are transient. There is nothing to be attached with. So all that information is very much like giving a taste of dispassion, ultimately. There is nothing to attract, these parts themselves are not attractive. No point of claiming them as belong to me. Ultimately, there is no any particular body part which giving any satisfaction, ultimately the mind become dispassionate. And whatever internal what element, whatever external what element, they are merely what element. So you become further dispassionate. And ultimately, you can simply disclaim, they are not mine. This is not mine, this is not, I am not, this is not myself. Kind of a disclaiming can happen. And as a result of that, so one becomes dispassionate, disenchanted with respect to the what element. The same approach listed for fire element, air element, and space element. So space element, sometimes we are not much familiar, so let me touch that also. The space element may be either internal or external. External. What is the internal space element? Whatever internally belonging to oneself is space, spatial, and clung to. That is the holes of the ears, the nostrils, the door of the mouth. And that aperture whereby what is eaten, drunk, consumed, and tasted gets swallowed, and where it collects and whereby it is excreted from below, or whatever else internally belonging to oneself is space, spatial, and clung to, this is called the internal space element. So the idea is, in that space, there is no huge accumulation of earth element, water element, air element, or fire element. Very much like the absence of other four elements. It's the absence of the other four elements that is considered as the space element. And ultimately one will see that is also not belong to oneself. That's also non-self. It's also not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. And again the dispassion arise, disenchantment arise. So one is now dispassionate towards the space element. So similarly, so the element's meditation particularly leads towards dispassion, leads towards disenchantment. More one practices element meditation, more has to be a kind of a disenchantment towards the whole physical realm. So that's the key thing. It is not that we are going to accumulate a lot of details and tabularizing them, listing them and memorizing them, loading the mind with so much of information. We need certain amount of information, but ultimately we have to throw the whole thing. That throwing, that letting go has to happen naturally. It is not that we are trying to forcefully push things away. Rather, we do this experiment, we do a certain amount of analysis, but that analysis has to lead towards the dispassion, disenchantment. Ultimately, the mind will drop the whole thing, let go of the whole thing. Now, mind become more spacious, more lighter, no grasping, and that the natural lucidity or natural luminosity of the mind has to arise. Because there are no shades of the elements, no shades of the physical realm. Say for example, our minds are maybe attached to so much of physical belongings. You may have a house, you may have a car, husband, wife, children, maybe your garden and various other furniture. So this and that, so much of different things are there for us to get attracted. And our mind is occupied with them. Whenever you start seeing your mind, various thoughts related to those objects again and again appear in your mind. And various, say, mental images of those objects, which are kind of extracts taken from those objects, are again and again appear in your mind. So those are the signs, those are the perceptions. But as we practice, all that has to be reduced. So mind has to become more and more clear, more and more purified, less burdened, and fairly spacious. Because the signs, images taken from the physical objects are less interfering now. They are not interfering in the mind. They are not occupying the mind. Rather, mind become dispassionate towards them. So mind is now capable of keeping them away. Mind is more lighter now. It is more independent now. Previously, the mind was attached with it, attracted to them, bound with them, tangled with them, occupied with them. But now, as a result of the element's meditation, so the now mind become more dispassionate, disenchantment, more relaxed, more at peace, and more spacious. So that is the kind of information. And with respect to the consciousness element, I haven't included information here. So the consciousness element, actually in this categorization, in this six element categorization, the consciousness element, as I mentioned, represent the whole mental scenario. And particularly consciousness is helpful to distinctly recognize different objects. So that is its function. Vijanati ko bhikkave vijnananti ucchati. Vijanati. Distinctly knowing. So one example is that assume that you are going through a certain feeling. What is the type of feeling? Is it a painful feeling? Is it a equanimous feeling? Is it a pleasurable feeling? So how you know? So that knowing happens because of the consciousness. The consciousness is responsible to particularly know, now I am going through a painful feeling. Now I am going through a pleasurable feeling. Now I am going through a equanimous feeling. That is because of the function of consciousness. Similarly, suppose you are eating something. While eating, you can know, you can recognize, now this is a sweet taste, now this salty taste, maybe bitter taste. So likewise, different tastes are there. Even while eating, you can distinctly know that. That is because of the function of consciousness. So basically, through Vedananupassana, probably you are touching the consciousness element. And further in the Chittanupassana and Dhammanupassana, you are touching the consciousness element. Now, this is one explanation given here towards the elements. And Venerable Ananda asks another question now. Siyapana bante anyopi pariyayo yatha dhatu kusalo bhikkhuti alang vachanayati. So he is asking, bante, is there any another explanation, another way of understanding where a certain practitioner could be said as skilled in elements? And then Buddha say, yes, there is another one. And that is also Chaima Ananda Dhatu. There are another six categories there. So what are those? Sukha Dhatu, Dukkha Dhatu. Somanasa Dhatu, Domanasa Dhatu. Upekha Dhatu, Avijjaha Dhatu. That's another explanation given related to the elements. And particularly talking about the feeling tone. Sukha and Dukkha. So it was mostly about the physical bodily pressure and the pain. Sukha is the bodily pressure. Dukkha is the bodily pain. And somanasa, domanasa. So that is actually the mental side. So mentally when one is at joy, so we can say is in the somana, we are talking about the somanasa dhatu. And when one's in little worried, grief situation, so that is the domanasa. So basically during a Vedananupassana session, you probably start with the physical side, maybe knowing whether the body is going through some pleasurable feeling or painful feeling, any body aches, pains, etc. But slowly, slowly, you can touch the mental aspect as well. When the mind become happy, you can know that. When mind become little despair, worried, sorrow, that also you can know. And next one is Upekkha Dhatu and Avijja Dhatu. Upekkha Dhatu, actually we can understand. That's the other type of the feeling. That's Upekkha, neutral, equanimity. And last one is given as ignorance. Ignorance is also taken as an element. Now this is quite interesting. So this kind of a categorization. So as I said, whenever we are going through certain experience, we introduce a self. We introduce a person. So I am happy. I am unhappy. I am worried. I want to cry. Oh, I am quite elated. So all that bodily or mental experience, happiness or worry related, that feeling tone related, we are experiencing as a person, as an individual. So that's the problem. So basically all these experiences we attribute to a certain person. It becomes more personal now. But here Buddha holds that experience, particularly emphasizing the feeling side, he says all that are elements. So the idea is this is also impersonal. This is also non-self. Even though we say sukha, dukkha, maybe bodily pressure and bodily pain, that is also not belong to a person. That is also an element. Similarly, when one says somanasa, domanasa, that is internal joy element and the grief element, grief type of experience. So they are also, Buddha say, it is also not you. It is not belong to you. It is not me, myself. That's also an element. There are causes for this pleasure, pain to happen. So as a result of those causes, they have arisen. It doesn't belong to a person. And similarly, the equanimity also doesn't belong to a person. It's also an element. And there may be ignorance in the mind. That is also not personal. It's also an element. That's a very radical kind of a statement, because we take all these things as personal. But Buddha emphasizes they are impersonal. They are elements. They are non-self. So particularly when one practices Vedanupassana, so this area is fairly covered, where one understand when there is a pleasurable feeling, oh, there is a pleasurable feeling. When there is a painful feeling, you recognize there is a painful feeling. When you are going through some happiness, you can recognize, you step back and recognize, ah, there is a happiness. It is not that I am happy, but there is happiness. Similarly, when there is a worry, it is not that I am worried, but there is a worry. There is little sorrow appearing in the mind. Say there is a frustration. Oh, there is a little frustration. There is a little grief. So you are now looking at them objectively. That's the most important thing. That's the whole practice in Satipatthana. So rather than you claim the experience to be me or myself, you step out of the experience and you recognize them as something external. It doesn't belong to you. It is not me. It is a pain. It is a sorrow. It is a pleasure. So likewise, all the experience now you are looking at from a different angle, from a different perspective. There is happiness. There is unhappiness. There is pain. There is pleasure. There is equanimity. And sometimes there is ignorance in the mind. So don't worry about knowing that. It is necessary to know that now the mind is ignorant. There is ignorance. So knowing that. So that little loosen our kind of grip. So sometimes we take things so personal and we feel worried, we feel threatened, because we take the whole experience as personal. But as a result of the practice, slowly we are in a position to properly look, put them in the proper perspective and their proper place, knowing them as kind of impersonal. And they are merely objects, they are merely an experience, they are merely elements, they are merely feelings. There is no person who is feeling. There is no such experiencer. But there is an experience going on, but there is no experiencer. There is no soul, there is no self. So this interesting way that Buddha presenting this whole mental and physical experience, dividing it into very simple categories, giving the emphasis that they all are elements, giving that they are non-personal, they are non-self, developing disenchantment, developing dispassion. Ultimately, the aim is to liberate the mind, reduce the grasping, to relieve the mind, to free the mind. When that at that level, mind become independent. Rather than dependent on any of these experience, any of these feelings, one may be able to free the mind. Even though body is going through some suffering, mind is free. So with that note, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. There are some more to discuss. And now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu.
What happened to you, Jennifer?
I don't know. I logged in and I was like, nobody is on. And I waited for like 10 minutes and still nobody was on. I even sent a note to Geshan.
Right.
But I don't know what happened.
Yeah. So.
But here I am. Yes.
Good. Welcome. Once we tried to log in, it is mentioning that the host has joined is progressing with another meeting.
Oh.
Yeah, probably you might have touched a different or wrong place.
A different meeting code.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Well, that will explain why.
Yes.
The one in my meeting. Oh gosh, sorry about that. If anyone has any questions, feel free to raise your hand.
Anything you have? Anything? Okay, nothing from our side.
Okay, Rupika, feel free to unmute. Rupika, sorry. Are you able to? Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yes, that may take a bit of time to find.
No worries.
thank you so much, Jennifer. Devansa and I, Swami Mahan sir.
Yeah.
Much gratitude for your teachings every day, which I follow. I have a question, two questions, not two questions as such, but I'd like to get your guidance. One, I like to clarify. I was listening to your talk on the Poya Day last Thursday, and my experience was, I'll tell you my experience first, because I am not sure you mentioned that I'll tell my experience. I don't know how to. My experience is now, because I have gone through Chittanupassana very much. I have a lot of kind of when I'm actually meditating on not doing anything important by myself, especially I feel a lot of emptiness. I feel like I need to, I love to go into kind of meditation. And if I'm looking at anything, or I can be in a space where there's nothing, because I feel my mind is empty. Because why I feel that way is, I feel that everything is sankata that mind made.
Mm-hmm.
My mind is kind of empty, and automatically when I'm in that kind of, I'm very well aware. I'm not asleep, not sloth and torpor. I'm very much in the present moment. Looking at, you know, it's kind of empty and it's nice, but then I also go into seeing the breath because it's so silent. I think what you meant that time, that's why I want to clarify in your talk, is you go back to samadhi.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, what I felt was I go back to samadhi, but I'm not in that samadhi mode of taking a nimitta in the breath going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm, because I'm more present, I can feel and I can see the Trilakshana.
Mm-hmm.
That rather than going into deep samatha meditation, but of course in a samatha in a way, because I'm not looking at any other thing, if you know what I mean. I don't know whether I'm explaining well. So is that correct? Because rather than me going into samatha, because I don't want to take a nimitta, because previously when I started doing samatha, yes, to concentrate the mind, I was looking at the as a nimitta. But now that I know, even if I say this is a long breath or a short breath, it is actually, if we don't give a name, it's short breath or long breath or the breath going in or out, it's just the breath. Mm-hmm. In and out is the same, physically inside and outside is the same. I don't know whether I can express it very well, because
now I got to your point. New. Yeah, I got to your point. So basically, you are at one stage of your practice where various phenomena are arising and you are able to focus your attention on them, and you see their impermanent nature, their unsatisfactory nature, their non-self nature. So you are more and more, you are understanding their true nature. So that is important, that is necessary, and that is one stage of vipassana. So actually the signless will happen later, not at this level. So you are still recognizing the signs, the qualities, whether it is a safe example when you are talking about, say, feelings. So probably still you can understand, okay, this is a pleasurable feeling, this is a painful feeling, this is an equanimous feeling. So you still can feel it. And say you are knowing various elements, you still can recognize this is earth element, this is fire element, this is air element, this is our vibration, these are different sensations. So you can distinctly know their manifestation, they are coming and going. So all that are quite necessary to have a fairly good understanding about their operation. But as you continue this practice, so there may be a stage where you feel that you are unable to really note them. You are unable to really understand their tone. Whether it is whether it's a pleasurable or whether it's a painful, whether it is equanimous, but some kind of a feeling is there, but you can't taste it properly. Similarly, there is a stage in the elements meditation also. So certain kind of element manifestation is there, but you can't name it. And similarly, say you practice anapanasati, now you probably can't name it, telling, okay, this is the inhalation, this is exhalation, you can't distinctly know. So that level is another stage that you may slowly approach, where you are unable to pick the sign, you are unable to pick the quality, but still certain experience is there. It's very much like a flux now.
That's right. Yeah. Because it goes between kind of nothing, and if I think about it, now another experience that happened recently, I had two freak accidents in one day.
Mm-hmm.
But in both the time when the accident happened, I fell flat on my once on my back and once on the on my face. I didn't feel anything at all. I did everything. I got up, everything what I had, unluckily I didn't break any bones, which was very good. Everything happened, nothing. But as soon as my husband asked me, "Are you okay, Rupika?" then only I became myself, because I had to describe the whole process and say, "Oh, I feel a little bit my whatever is paining or I'm bruised or whatever." Then only I had to explain, and then I felt the pain. Otherwise, I did not feel anything. I got up, I did everything. Brush myself, blood coming, did everything. Not a word of whether it's painful, nothing. I didn't feel anything. So I feel like I'm going between two, you know. As soon as somebody asks, then you become yourself.
Exactly.
Is that
correct? Correct.
Am I going on the right
correct,
path?
Correct, correct. Yeah, you are correct. So as you continue this elements meditation, so there is no a personal involvement. So you are merely experiencing the elements. Elements don't know which belongs to a male body, female body, it's morning, evening. There is no such information at all. But they are merely manifesting. They are coming and going. They are rising and passing away. They are changing. So they are merely elements. So that is their proper behavior. So we humans are the ones attributed so much of names and labels. And then things become more personal. And then we suffer, actually. So now as you continue a practice, there is a stage further that your mind will
Yes.
stop taking the signs, and there you touch the signless. It will happen later, so don't worry about it. So just continue your practice. So later
Yes.
you will step into this signless state, so don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It kind of happens because now when I'm meditating, I feel like I don't feel my body at all.
Ah, good.
Because it's like if I think about it, then I know this is my right leg or this
right.
is my left leg.
Yeah.
But if I'm not thinking, I don't know whether it's the right left or left leg or if it's bad
Correct.
Or the body. It's like you have the car. Car is another object, but when you put the key and inject, you know, start the car, then only the start to move, kind of, isn't it? Otherwise, it's another blob of something,
Correct.
Some metal
Correct.
Blob
Correct.
Of object.
Yes.
So it's like that when I'm always by myself, I feel only the consciousness. I don't feel the body. Because of the consciousness, I can see an object and I saw, but that also I don't make a story out of it. It's beautiful or not, even the sound. But as soon as I have to answer somebody or tell something to somebody, then I have to be me, and then I have all these interpretation of my the way I feel. I like this, so I don't want to go now. Or it's raining and it's not a good time or whatever.
So that's
so
why.
I'm kind
so
of
as
feel
now,
that
now
I'm
you are
switching between these two.
Correct. Yeah. Now you are able to trace the arising of I. So previously
Yes.
we are a person. We experience the whole thing being a person. So this it becomes more personal
Yes.
and we suffer. But now as a result of the practice and we have stepped into another level. Okay, there is an impersonal experience going on and I am not suffering at all. But time to time, the sense of I arise, the personality arise,
Yes.
a person appears
Yes.
and then the self appears. So time to time it happens because of our ignorance. Still, sometimes we become ignorant
Yes.
and how this personal experience is now appearing. So you need to notice it and what you are doing is quite correct. Recognize how this eye-making happens, mind-making happens, how this
Yes.
comparison happens. So as Buddha mentioned, ahankara, mamankara, mananusaya. Ahankara, so eye-making happens. Mamankara, so I start having kind of a possessive attitude towards something. Ah, it is mine. Ah, it's myself. Ah, it is my car. Ah, it is my pain. So that
Yes.
mind-making happens. And sometimes we compare
Yes.
ourselves with another person. Ah, I am better than him, I am equal to him, I am inferior to him. So always when I am working with some others, I am dealing with others, moving with others, we tend to compare and that also produce a sense of I. So likewise, so you need to constantly recognize this I-making, mind-making, that the self-building and all that. Confirming a self and through thinking also we are trying to confirm existing self. All that ignorant activities we need to properly notice and then without promoting it slowly abandon them.
Yeah, because I think I have told because of the experience, past experience of the realization that I had that there is nothing in through my Chittanupassana meditation over the several years. Now, actually, it just comes to my mind. Previously, I started a long, long time ago when doing the Chittanupassana, one of my favorite sutras was the Rahulavada Sutra. There is no self. If if it's impermanent, it's dukkha. If it's dukkha, there's no self. That when I started off, it was just merely thinking on that.
Understood. Yeah.
And I used to forget, you know. But because of the realization, now it comes to my mind, and then. Or thinking or anything, I just don't need to do it because I know this is just mind making.
Correct.
But still, I find, because we have to deal with day to day. I have to speak with my husband. I have to go to the shop and deal. Then I know I have not come to that stage that then I become me, myself, Rubika.
Correct, correct.
I find it very funny because other times I'm like...
nobody.
It's nice. It's, I cannot tell. It's the beautiful experience of emptiness and I cannot tell it because if I tell, then I become I.
Correct.
To
correct.
Express something, you become yourself. I feel like that way.
Correct, correct.
Otherwise, other times it's like more... very empty, very, very beautiful
experience.
And very light in the
correct.
Body. Yes.
Correct.
So
correct.
I just wanted to know whether I'm going in the right path.
Yeah. Just so just continue. Ultimately, you become no one.
Yes, love to become no one. It's so much easier to become no one than be ourselves. Yes.
Thank you
very much. Much gratitude.
Teruvan Sannai. Actually, I have shared the last Poya Day Dhamma sermon. Many have requested that. It is now available in the website.
Yes.
And I have just selected that particular sermon and shared everyone in the chat.
Thank you so much. Much gratitude.
Thank you, Bhante. I'd like to invite Rakita for the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Bhante, if I'm seated meditating and my breath is very, very subtle and then I feel that it's like, well, either equanimous or dukkhamasukha, like neutral.
Yes.
Then sometimes I am thinking maybe I am in ignorance because I'm drowsy. I don't have this in between, I am drowsy.
Mm-hmm. You don't
I
need.
I don't have a feeling that I'm falling asleep and now I could be asleep, but I know that it is adukkhamasukha or equanimous because there is no. Positive or negative, or there is no joy, or there is no sorrow, or there is no pain, or there is no pleasure. But then, next moment, there is nothing. Or I don't know what there is.
Yeah, you don't need to. So you don't.
Or maybe that I have fallen asleep, or I thought maybe there is ignorance there because it's neither. Neutral, no, because when I know it is, I'm saying it's neutral because the others are not there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't know anything.
So are you sleeping?
It's so sudden.
Are you sleeping?
The thing is, now I'm not doing it like before, I was doing too long. But I'm not doing like that. So I don't think I'm...
No, when you are going through that experience, are you sure that you are not sleeping?
No, I'm not sure. I don't know what it is, so I must...
That's what you need to verify. That's what you need to verify again and again. Now you do the practice again and again. And just before you experience this kind of a vague area... Try to maintain some unbroken mindfulness, very precise mindfulness, very careful attention, and see what is happening. So my reading is very much like, as you continue, there may be a stage you lose the object altogether and there you can't know anything. It also is possibility, but you need to check it, you need to verify it. So that those are the two scenarios. One thing is you step into the sleepiness. And so you become unconscious. The other thing is, you have nothing to be conscious. So that is also another area where we are touching through the meditation. So your mind become objectless.
Yeah, I don't know which of that two it is because there is no stage called drowsiness.
Mm-hmm. So that's why
I feel that I'm getting drowsy sometimes. I will kind of arouse myself and say, okay, I'm sleepy. Either if this is because I'm tired, I should go and sleep, or I should, you know, open my eyes or do something because I'm falling asleep. But no, I'm not coming to a stage like that.
Yeah, that's, anyway, I mean, not now, but continue your practice, particularly spend more time in walking meditation, further sharpening your mindfulness. Then that sharpened mindfulness will be able to wake you up. You know that the so because the wakefulness is very related to the wakefulness is more related to the mindfulness. More you are mindful, more you will be wakeful. So then you may be able to precisely know what is really going on, whether I'm falling asleep or mind is not sleeping, but there is nothing to know. Even though I am conscious, there is nothing to be conscious. So likewise, you can verify your experience more clearly, precisely, as you further sharpen the mindfulness.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Now, when I'm walking, because I'm doing more walking, I can feel distant thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the thoughts.
Good.
But those thoughts are not, they are not, again, they are not important.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not remembering what the thoughts are.
No need, no need. Just ignore them. No need.
Yes. That's what I want to do. But there is no investigation. The thoughts are just, I shouldn't be trying to investigate or do anything.
No need, no need now. No need. You just continue the walking and let the thoughts come and go. Don't follow them. And just keep the mind more relaxed now. And assume that there are no thoughts. Just be. Just be.
It's not only when I'm walking, it's when I'm swimming too.
Mm-hmm. No problem. You don't need thoughts. During the swimming... During the swimming, you don't need thoughts. Like you don't need clothes.
That's the thing. Sometimes I think I have to do this because I hear a Dhamma talk. I think, oh, I should be doing this. Sometimes I think, oh, if I just swim, enjoy the swimming, I know there are thoughts, but they're coming and going and I'm not... after the swim, I don't know what I was thinking. So... basically, I should let it happen automatically like that. Right?
Okay, that's better. I mean, you don't need to forcefully abandon thoughts. Now, let them come and go, but it doesn't stay in your mind. You're not encouraging them.
No, it doesn't stay in my
mind. That's right. That's right. So, keep the mind more and more relaxed.
Remember what it is. If it stays, I'll remember what it is.
Correct, correct.
Okay, thank you very much,
Bhante. Yeah.
Sarnai.
Yeah, Sarnai.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite, I think this is Geshan.
No, John Hill.
Mindful Family.
That I don't know,
Yeah.
I like to invite John Hill, by the way.
Yes, John is next and can go next.
Because he's our good friend. You don't know about him, right, Jennifer?
No, I don't.
John, can you hear us?
John, are you able to unmute?
Oh, he's unable to unmute, it seems. Actually, let me introduce, John Hale was the Venerable Dhamma Vijita. He disrobed about so now he is in USA looking after his father. His father is fairly sick and now he's looking after his father. He is able to speak. Please go ahead.
Bhante, thank you. Can you hear me?
yes. How are you?
So wonderful to hear your teaching.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Nice to hear you after a long time.
Nice to hear you as well. My father's doing better, but of course he's 82, so he's reaching the end of his life. So he's doing well though for his age, and he's doing better.
Good.
He was very sick.
How are you?
When I came back. I'm doing very well.
Ah.
Still doing a lot of practice right now, yoga and meditation. So
good, good.
I'm trying to get a driver's license presently. I'm with my mother right now in Kansas, staying with her. Thank you so much, Anna. I'm doing well.
Good,
I'm
good.
Doing well, and it's great to hear you and to hear the teaching tonight.
Good.
I do have a question, Bhante. How are you, by the way?
Yeah, fine, fine. Bhante Dhammajiva also returned back after Vassa period. He has entered Vassa in Anuradhapura.
Yes.
Now he is back in Nisarnavanaya.
Yes.
So anyway, he is leaving to Australia in coming 27th. So things are happening.
Okay. Oh, good, good. Same as usual.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Good. Bhante, I do have a question. I was curious about consciousness as being an element, and that also pleasure. The pleasure element, the neutral element, and the unpleasant element.
Correct.
It got me curious because usually we think of elements, or I usually think of elements as like the more solid elements, or wind, or space, fire, etc.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, element as consciousness or element as pleasure element, it made me think of what we're talking about as element, and what I thought maybe was that element can be any phenomenon that we can experience.
Correct.
In its most basic fundamental form.
Yes.
So rather than as soon as we start calling it my own feeling, then it's gone beyond being an element.
Correct.
And also I was wondering what other ways could we have elements with the consciousness rather than there's pleasure, neutral, or unpleasant? Are there other sorts of consciousness elements?
Yeah, basically now that's an interesting thing of this sutta. So typically we think that the elements are more into physical objects, and we feel they are really matter, and they are more physical, they are particles. So that's what the typical feeling we may have related to the elements. But we can see very broad application of the term elements in this sutta. So Buddha gives various explanations about the dhatu. So he sometimes gives 18 dhatu, talking about the whole experience from the from internal and external communication point of view. So we are always dealing with the outside world using our sense bases, and accordingly we come through different consciousness. All that he introduced as elements, and then what we have discussed today, the six elements, the physical realm with the five elements, and the whole mental realm using one consciousness element. That is another explanation. And then as we discussed today, the sukha, dukkha, somanasa, domanasa, those are related more into the experience, the feeling torn side. That is also he is introducing as elements. And later in the coming week, we can discuss about the thought side, even the thoughts. Say, kama dhatu, nekkama dhatu, vyapada dhatu, avyapada dhatu, vihinsa dhatu, avinsa dhatu. So those are actually coming under the thoughts realm. Thinking realm. Different thoughts are happening. Say you may have the sensual desire, you have the renunciation, you have ill will, you have non-ill will, you have cruelty, you have non-cruelty. That is also Buddha explained as elements. So that's an interesting area. So where the elements, the term element emphasize the non-self attribute. There is no soul here, there is no any intrinsic particle here. There is no self here. All these experiences we can tell as kind of elements. So therefore Buddha not only used the term elements only to the physical realm, but he has used that to the mental realm as well. Maybe even to the thoughts, maybe to the feelings, even to the consciousness level, even to the physical realm, to the Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayo space. So everywhere he used the term elements just to mainly to emphasize that non-self. No, there is no self here, but the continuation is there. But the, you know, that the experience can happen, a certain activity can happen, but there is no person's involvement. There is no creature being involved. There is no God involved. There is no person involved, but a certain activity is happening. A certain process is happening. It's, therefore, it's a non-personal element type of a thing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful.
Yep.
To think of it that way, and the thinking as well being an element, as you will see next week, I guess.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Bhante.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you're welcome.
Sorry.
Teruvan Sannai.
Teruvan Sannai.
Okay. Thank you. And glad to hear, John, you're doing well. So is your family. Okay,
thank you.
Next.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Next, I'd like to invite Geshan for our next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. So I'm so happy to hear John's voice as well. about exactly a year ago, I think I met John at Nisar Navane.
Yes, yes.
I hope you can remember as well.
Now you can meet him after some time, maybe.
Yes, I had to share my contact information with John.
Nice to hear you, Geshan. Yes, please do.
Sure. And so, Bhante and John, thank you for asking the question, because there is a profound answer which I got as well. One of the questions what I had of these six aspects, each of them has, if it is the I, the subject of a rupa, which is, and then the rupa vijnana, the I consciousness, all three come together. So 3 times 6 becomes that 18, and on that 18, the mind made the matters, which was that question. And I was wondering, where are those 4 known elements what we are used to, which is the fire element, the hard, the liquid, and the air elements comes together. I think I found the answer to that as well, which I always wonder, you know, there are times that I get certain type of emotions, and now I know those also are pertaining to the mind factors of those elements as well. So I think that is a really good question. On the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutra, Swami Vansa, this basically talks in detail. And my question was basically the same on the mind matter. I think what I sort of understood from your answer is the questions that John also asked at the similar kind of thing, and I think that was the answer, I think, what you gave. So I sort of understood. I think maybe next couple of days you will, or next couple of weeks you will talk about this more into details. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
I think I don't have any other questions, because that was the only question what I had earlier.
Okay.
So,
Fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, if there is no more questions, then we can wind up the session. So, basically, today also we have spent a fair amount of time discussing Dhamma. And so, Venerable Dhammosada is here. So, I cordially invite him to conduct the sharing of merits.
Sorry, Swami Nansi. Yep. Thank you for the teaching today. And may our relatives and all deities partake of the merits accrued from today's teaching. May all celestial beings protect the Dharma exposition and the Buddha dispensation for a long time. And may the seeds of Dhamma that we have received today grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. Now let us recite the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits. Ettavata chammehi sambhatam punya sampadam sambe deva anumodantu sambha sampatti siddhya. Ettavata chammehi sambhatam punya sampadam sambe bhuta anumodantu sambha sampatti siddhya. Ettavata chammehi sambhatam punya sampadam sambe satta anumodantu sambha sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu mam param. Idam go nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idam no nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idam no nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyakammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punyakammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punyakammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu sadhu sadhu.
Yeah, they don't sound like.